That's all I got. Cool and the Gang, 1980. Have any of you been to a wedding in the last 37 years where that song was not played? I mean, you know, we expect to sing and dance to celebration at weddings. It's not the only thing we expect at weddings. We expect food, you know, and not like hamburger helper food. Like really, really good food, and lots of it, and cake, and dessert table, and this is kind of a new thing. You know, it's not like the food that we just ate at 8 o'clock isn't enough to sustain us. You got to come in with the sliders or the pizzas or, you know, some other carry-you-over food late at night. And, of course, not just food. Beverages, especially wine. We raise glasses to toast the couple. And so dancing and food and wine, these are signs of a celebration. And the celebration itself is a sign of new life beginning. Well, weddings were a big deal in Jesus' time, too. I don't know that they had sliders, but they lasted sometimes as often or as long as a week. Imagine the bar bill for that. They lasted for a week. And hospitality in that time and place was a really big deal. I mean, even when they didn't have a lot, they gave what they had to their guests. And so for the wine to run out at a wedding celebration was unthinkable. I mean, it's like the most glaring source of embarrassment you could possibly imagine. Last Sunday, we heard about Jesus calling Nathanael. And he had seen Nathanael at a distance, and he described his inner character. And this blew Nathanael away. He just said, "Whoa, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Kings." And Jesus said, "Nate, you ain't seen nothing yet. You are going to see heaven open. Stick around. You're going to see heaven opened." Now, when we hear the word heaven, we tend to think of it being a place far away, not really accessible to us, at least not now. When the Bible talks about heaven, they don't mean far away. It really means more of a parallel reality, a parallel dimension, you might even think of, very, very close, right alongside what we can see. And there are times in the Bible when the veil opens, heaven and earth converge. We get a glimpse of what God's domain is all about. Certainly, wherever Jesus is, heaven and earth converge because he's the Word made flesh, God with us. And so today, just a few verses after Jesus promised to Nathanael, we get the first glimpse of what it's like when heaven opens up. And so, you know, that story is engaging. I want to just hit a few things that we might have missed going along in it. So first of all, when heaven opens up, sons listen to their mothers. Did you notice that? Hey, mom says, "Hey, they don't have any more wine." And Jesus says, "Not your concern, not my concern." Mary wisely ignores her son and asserts that something is going to happen here. And Jesus, also demonstrating wisdom, because if mama ain't happy, ain't no one happy, listens to her. So moms, do not underestimate the reach of the hand of God when your sons actually do listen to you. It's heaven opening up. The celebration extends when heaven opens up. We've all heard these words. Last call. Now, usually that refers to the bar closing down, but what it really means is this party is winding down. It's not going to last much longer. But we follow a risen Lord. The celebration's never over. When heaven opens up, there is no last call. When heaven opens up, life is abundant. It's abundant. It's not just that Jesus turned the water into wine. He created an extraordinary abundance of wine. 20 to 30 times 6, that's 120 to 180 gallons of wine. Now, I don't know what y'all have in your cellars, but 120 to 180 gallons is more wine than could possibly have been consumed by that wedding party, even across seven days. More than they could possibly have consumed. And so this is important because when heaven opens up, scarcity is just in our minds. There is no scarcity when heaven opens up. In a couple weeks, we're going to commence a capital appeal here called Yes And. And we'll have plenty of chance to talk about what those elements are and why we're doing it and offer encouragement. But I want to share one part today because on Wednesday, we did some video shooting of Atonement members, and you're going to see some of those video clips. But I don't know what's going to end up on the editing room floor. And so we asked people, when have you said yes to God and what's been the result of that? And we didn't ask this of everyone, but we asked a handful of people, when have you said yes to God through financial generosity? And here's the common element. Every one of them in their story said, it turns out we had more than we realized. Turns out we had more than we realized. When heaven opens up, life is abundant, and scarcity is just in our minds. When heaven opens up, the servants see it before their managers do, before their bosses do. The servants see it. They see the hand of Jesus. They understand what he's done. Do you remember the movie The Help? It came out maybe 6 or 7 years ago. It's a good movie for a lot of reasons, but one of the things that stuck out or stood out to me was that the help understood their employers a whole lot more than their employers understood the help. And you put that alongside Jesus' special concern for who he called the least of these. And the least of these are those who are not so least might tend to overlook. So when heaven opens up, it's very clear that Jesus is for all. For all. Something else happens when heaven opens up. Jesus saves the best for last. So it wasn't just that he turned water into wine. It wasn't just that he created 120 to 180 gallons of wine. This was not Two Buck Chuck. This was Domaine de la Romanée Conte. This was, for those of you who are more California cult cab fans, so it was 120 to 180 gallons of Screaming Eagle. Saves the best for last. Years ago when I was in college, my parents' friends would often take me aside and say to me, Don, enjoy yourself because, and you're going to finish this for me, these are the best years of your life. God bless you. And to someone 20, 21, 22 years old, to hear people in their 40s and 50s saying, it hasn't been any better for me than it is for you right now. That was disheartening, and I hoped wrong. by the way it is, all right? So all y'all who are in college or soon to go to college, I mean, it is way better on the other side of college. Way better. Contrast that to my recent experience where I officiated at a wedding of two friends. And each had been married before. And each were carrying some battle scars. And it was one of the most joyous celebrations I've ever been part of. And at the reception, the groom stood up to welcome everybody and thank us for being there and express appreciation for having walked alongside them and all. And he said, "I never thought I would get another chance at happiness. Never thought I'd get another chance at happiness." Jesus saves the best for the last. And here's the thing. I think in our minds, we conceive of best as like at the other end of this continuum, like the old Sears Roebuck catalog, good, better, best. And we think that if we're going to get the best, that it comes after the better and after the good. But this story tells us otherwise. The best did not present itself until they'd run out of the good, or maybe even the better. The best came on the other side of empty vats. So where today are you feeling yourself running out? Where are you running out? Health? Success? Yeah. When we start out in the world of our endeavors, we see the graph and it's all up and to the right. You live long enough, you realize there's some peaks and valleys. Maybe it's not even success. Maybe you don't even have the opportunity to gain success because you're at that point in your life where you're no longer seen as the rising star. Maybe someone else can do what you've been doing. They'll do it faster, cheaper. Maybe opportunity's running out. Maybe it's running out for you relationally. Maybe you're not in a season of, "I never thought I'd have another chance at happiness." Maybe you're in a season of, "Where'd it go?" Maybe you're in a season with friends where, "Man, these guys used to call me and now I don't get a call returned. What's up with that?" Maybe you're running out spiritually. I mean, any of those other runnings out can trigger a response in us that says, "God, where are you? Where's the abundance? I'm not all up and to the right." And here's the thing. When the disciples saw that the wine had run out, and they saw what Jesus provided on the other side of that emptiness, they believed in him. They believed in him on the other side of the emptiness when he provided more than could possibly consume and better than they could have ever imagined. Now we hear belief and we think, "Oh yeah, what is that here? Yeah, I saw you do that, Jesus. That was really you. It wasn't smoke and mirrors." No, belief means that they were about to, for the next 3 years, follow Jesus wherever he would go. And he didn't give them a 3-year plan. He didn't tell them it was all going to be up and to the right. And of course, it bore out that it wouldn't be. So believing in him was a result of seeing the best for last, but prior to the best, it got pretty bad. The resurrection followed the worst day in history. The Holy Spirit was given, but the Holy Spirit didn't come to them when the disciples were at their strength. The disciples were hidden in a room, afraid. God saves the best for last, but often it follows the hard, maybe even the devastating. I want to share this personally with you. Every hard thing that I've been through, every really hard thing I've been through, not just like a bad day, every hard thing that I've been through has opened space for more of Jesus in my life. And I want you to hear that clearly. I'm not saying God doesn't give you more than you can take. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. I don't believe either of those things are true. But I'm saying that when our own resources are no longer sufficient, there's more room in our lives for Jesus to bring the best. And we then are able to celebrate not only good times, but everyday times, ordinary times. We can celebrate tough times. We can celebrate devastating times. We can celebrate not sure I can get up and do this anymore times. And we can sing along with Kool and the Gang. Everyone around the world, come on. Amen.